big welcome to everyone. I see a lot of familiar faces here, and it's a joy to share the faith with you regularly and to be so at home with you in this great house that Jesus built. I also see faces of visitors and some who are maybe not so regular, but this is your home as well, and we are glad that we have you here with us tonight. In Christ, we are all family, and family is always welcome at home. As a father of four adult children and their mates, I have a storehouse of memories of comings and goings, of absences long and short. And regardless of details, when family comes home, they are welcome. Always. It's like they never left. So, home is a good segue into the homily tonight. Do you recall the episode early in the gospel in Jesus' ministry when he says, "Foxes have dens, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no home, nowhere to lay his head"? Well, we know that Jesus did live in Nazareth with Mary and Joseph for many years, and what a home that must have been, huh? They were a family, and they made a home with each other. But be very aware that Jesus started and ended his life without a home. So whenever Jesus talks about home, we should pay very close attention. For the most part, Jesus tells us of two homes: his home in heaven, where he lives with the Father, and he wants us to come and live forever, which is the whole point of the Gospels. And the other home is the home that he desires here on earth. And that home is our hearts, yours and mine. Now, you don't have to take my word for it, because I can prove what I just said to be true. When I came over here to the Ambo tonight, and I said a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, I probably could have stopped right there. Because on this Christmas Eve, you all know the story. You all know the narrative of how the census was called and how Joseph brought pregnant Mary to the city of David. You know how there was no place for them to stay, and so they wound up in a stable, which wasn't much more than a windbreak. You know about the star and the shepherds and the angels. You know all this. But how do you know it? It's because you know it by heart. We all know this story because we carry it in our hearts. We know this story because Christ has a home in our hearts. And his story gives meaning to our lives. And that is a joyful and amazing thing. It's very interesting, at least to me, the many things that may or may not find a home in the hearts of different people. For instance, high school calculus and advanced math. Probably not, huh? Unless you're a mathematician, and then for sure. Not many here could land a 747, but I know a few pilots, and believe me, they've got it ingrained in their hearts. I know a guy who moves the packages around over at Amazon, a process that would most likely baffle me. But that guy would probably be baffled by the work of the IT person writing code for a hospital department. And we could all add to that list in some fashion. And of course, I have to say that the human heart can also give a home to evil things as well. It's a sad fact, but a fact nonetheless. But from the simplest to the most complex of us, there are things that have taken root in our hearts, things to which we attach meaning, and therefore we direct our lives around according to how meaningful they are. Our hearts, our lives, our existence can have, should have, great meaning. We are a great race of creatures by God's design, and we are capable of great things. It all depends on us and the decisions and choices we make and who dwells in the home of our heart. Look at the Christmas story we're sharing tonight. Look at the people there. Can we get a glimpse of what might be in their hearts? Can we see the meaning in their lives? How about the great Caesar Augustus and the role he played in the birth of the Savior? Do you think he had the salvation of the world at heart? Probably not. The census that he called was an affirmation of his control over a large part of the world and a good way to raise money from taxes. There wasn't a hint in his heart that he was serving God's will. He thought that he was a god. And how about the people who didn't have room for Joseph and his pregnant wife? Bethlehem was very small. It's possible there wasn't actually an inn. Only the homes of relatives and friends who were already housing all of the travelers that they could handle. Was it just callousness that would send a woman away when she was in labor? Or maybe frustration or weariness? We can't know what it was, but we know what it wasn't. It wasn't a heart watching for God. Joseph, for days escorting Mary through the desert, his heart filled with trust in God, but not knowing what would happen. Certainly, every step he took on that trip had meaning. Making a birthing room out of a smelly barn had meaning. His heart was filled with the child of God as he tries to make a shelter out of almost nothing. Mary, the Blessed Mother, her heart and her womb filled with God. You can bet that every bumpy step that that donkey took had meaning as she rode it for hours without complaint. And then to lie down half naked in the straw to birth your child, vulnerable, embarrassed, frightened. You can bet it was all done with meaning. The shepherds, hearts filled with the news of God, they leave their flocks unguarded to go and witness what the angels have told them, declared to them. Heaven meets earth, and they are invited. The angels themselves, hearts filled with perpetual love of God, now singing the good news of salvation to humanity. Everything they do with God in mind. In the days to come in our readings, we will hear about other people. Kings traveling great distances to give honor. And another king trying to kill the child. And always we can read their hearts as we see the choices that they make and the actions that they take. And what is true of them is true of us as well. Our everyday actions show clearly who or what is in our hearts. We know this miraculous story of the sweet Christ child, the child that we would love to hold in our arms and coo our love to. From the roughest of us to the most tender, we desire this child, and we build a home for him in our hearts. The thing for us now is to make it a good home, the best home that we possibly can, a home where the Christ child can live and grow. With hearts like that, it will be possible for amazing things of God to happen through us. With hearts filled with the Christ child, we will be able to respond to anything that God asks. Yes, Lord, certainly. I will carry the child wherever you ask. The Christ child didn't come just for others 2,000 years ago. He didn't come to remain in the pages of a book to be opened once a year. He came for all of us, every one of us, to find a home in our hearts forever.